Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that Fish Tank.
It is hard not to get fired up after that intro, even though now it's the second time we've seen it, fellas. This is Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt here from the Casabella Design Group studios. And on the Dolphins Talk YouTube, 1 week into this thing now, Juice. I feel like it's home. It's actually home. And and of course, oh, wait a minute. There they are. The band horns right now. Not only
sorry,
that, I'm going to skip that, the intro. Talk about sorry, making an entrance.
Had to change a diaper. You know how things go for your fathers.
Fortunately, not
out
anymore.
There.
Right.
We don't, well, hopefully.
Yeah, 14 and 16. Yeah, that would be a little messy.
So I apologize, but we don't get to determine when that happens. But right. She's so happy to be here, and I certainly am as well.
Well, Chad, cool. we're gonna thank you guys both collectively for having that happen before we got too deep into the show,
because right.
That could be
we
a whole other
your
thing.
PR. Well, thank you, Mama.
Absolutely. Not only are we joined by the Van Horns, we'll circle back to them, but of course, as always, I am joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast business. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, we are live again on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel with all of our friends.
Yes, we are, Big Seth, man. The gang's all here, man. Alvaro probably dipped out right beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, we got Perk back in the building. You know, Perk finally got a chance to hear the the intro, the new intro. So I'm sure he's like thinking these dudes and went to a whole different level. And look at how clear he is so far.
I was going to say his internet. What is going on with his internet? What the hell happened?
Well, we need to address this. We need to address it immediately. But really quickly, as always, we love to introduce the crew here. If you're new to the show, we've got the producer to the stars and Emmy adjacent producer, the legendary Savak. We've got Chad Van Horn.
And Kiara.
Solo, and Kiara in the house and back in action in like 4K. Here he is, Sun Sentinel columnist, the host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk. He is Perk, Chris Perkins. Perk, man, has it been us all along? Is that what you're trying to tell us right now?
Hey, this upgrade is doing me wonders, man. I'm rejuvenated, baby. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk some Dolphins here, baby. I like it. The new facilities, I like it. It's doing me good.
But it is. Did we just go from St. Thomas to the Baptist Health Facility?
Exactly. St. Thomas, yeah. Skip Davies, take the Baptist Health. Right?
I like it. I like it.
I'm moving up like the Jeffersons.
Yeah. Oh, man. George and Wheezy in the building.
Too good. Too good. Well, you would think the offseason would be time to rest, but it doesn't, you know, that whole adage or adage, as Savak likes to call it, is that there truly is no offseason in the National Football League. So the Dolphins are at the combine. There's a lot to talk about. I'm excited to talk about it all. I watched these. I got kind of pumped up, guys, looking at John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley. So I got my John Eric Sullivan haircut. And I got my Halfley vest on, and I'm trying to channel the Dolphins brass here for tonight for a little Fish Tank Live. And the other thing I have to address before we start talking about the Dolphins, and Perk, I wish you had joined us, but we had, you know, the Jason Taylor Foundation poker tournament at Smoke on the Water on Saturday, and we had the entire – I mean, it, you know, Juice was there. Savak drove down from Jacksonville on a whim. He left in the morning and made it. Chad was there for a hot second before he busted out. We don't know if that was intentional or not. And even Alvaro from Casabell Design Group, who we don't get to see here on the show very often, Alvaro was also in the house. So it was really cool to get the whole crew in there. And I appreciate all you guys supporting the work that we do at the foundation.
Yeah, man. Hey, Seth, that's what it's all about, man. It's all about, you know, giving and giving back, bro. And that was a really, really fun event. I wish Chad would, you know, Chad went all in with 2-3 unsuited or something, man. You know what I mean?
I like you say it's all about, but there were free drinks at the bar. And if you sit at the table, you don't get the – I mean, you get free drinks, but they don't come as quickly.
No, I got it.
So you got to go all in quick and see what happens.
Well, Big Seth, I get what he's saying there. But Chad was at the table talking about, you know, after we leave here, you know, we going downtown Fort Lauderdale. We're going to be hanging out, blah, blah, blah. He dips out early. I call us, where you at? Oh, I can't.
Once my baby daughter gets in my arms, I mean, it's hard to leave that. So that's the big thing is once you start being an adult, which it's weird that it happened for me.
Overrated.
In my 40s.
Highly overrated.
But again, that's a great, great event as usual. Huge turnout, man.
Crazy. Huge
turnout, man. It was crazy, like, and there were some serious players in there. You know, when I get at the table, I'm like, yo, I'm not a serious player, man. So you guys are, you know, ready to lock? Fuck you.
Lock in it?
That's coming one, in hot. That's one, Juice.
If you weren't with us last week, but you have been to Fish Tank Live before, that's a little something new. OJ McDuffie claims he is trying to reduce the swear count on Fish Tank Live. I don't know in all other aspects of his life. I don't know if Savak's following him around everywhere he goes with that bell. But we're going to keep count of how many times Juice breaks, you know, he breaks character here. And what were we up to last week, Chad?
37.
That's... Ooh-wee.
All right. Well, we're only at one. We're only at one.
Blasphemy is what it is.
You're about to get that other ding, weren't you? All right. Let's get into this. The Dolphins went over. It was a little bit of a Halfley and Sullivan takeover in Indianapolis, or at least from our perspective, it was. I'm sure 32
all we cared about,
different
yeah.
cities.
That's all we cared about, right?
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's really all we care about in this show, for sure. And I want to start off. So, Perk, I actually thought you were there because you had the great column. You thought that day one, these guys passed the first test. Talk to us about why you were impressed with the Sullivan-Halfley show in day one at the Combine.
You know, when you see these guys together, they just look like they are in sync. It doesn't look like it's fake, orchestrated, made up. It looks like they're really in sync. And when I saw them on the Rich Eisen show, they were telling a lot of good stories. And one of the stories was how they first got to know each other And, you know, Halfley was saying that he used to watch film after the 2024 season with draft film with Sullivan, and Sullivan would tell him, here's what I'm looking for, here's what I like, here's what I don't like. And then last season, after every game, Halfley would text Sullivan and say, be honest, what did you think of the defense? Because Halfley was the defensive coordinator, and he said Sully was brutally honest. But they were telling good stories like that. Not only that, I like what they were saying, and they keep hitting on the toughness thing, and we want to draft a quarterback every year. They've been pretty honest when they've answered questions. We don't know what we're going to do with Tua yet. Here's why Tyreek is gone. Here's why Chubb is gone. Guys can't be 100% honest with you, executives, but there's things that you don't have to lie about. You don't have to lie about taking calls on Achane and Waddle. You can say we're not looking to trade them, but we will look to take the calls. So I like how they've been conducting themselves and how they've come off in Indy. It makes me very positive about the future of the organization.
I like it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's pretty close to what I read.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's going to be great for you guys, Perk. I mean, doing your job is going to be, you know, you're going to have a lot more to write about, I think, than what was given before. You know, I'm not here to trash anybody else. I know Mike said a lot. I know Chris didn't say much at all. And who knows? I mean, I don't think that, you know, that Sully's going to talk very much during the season. They don't usually talk much during the season, right? The GMs don't. But, I mean, they're giving you enough stuff right now and hopefully get you through the, you know, the offseason. And, listening to both of those guys talk in Indy, I was very impressed as well, man. I went to this event tonight, Seth, and I always like talk about some of the things that the Dolphins do in the community, but they had, you know, end of the season party or kind of a employee appreciation party tonight. And everybody in the bubble were excited about what the future could hold with these guys. You know, everybody came up talking football that worked for the team. And I was like, man, we're all excited, but we've been in this wait and see kind of mode. But right now, everybody said the same thing. They're all saying the right things, like Perk was just articulating. And that's a big word, like mayonnaise.
That is a mayonnaise word for sure. What bubble, Juice? What I thought the bubble was deflated. And
man, same thing. Indoor facility, man.
That's right.
Okay, all right.
Damn bubble, man. Bubble. A bubble.
Bubble can't have like.
Man, hey Seth, you know what? Angry. Get ready, Savak.
No, we're gonna get him. I don't know if we're gonna get the 37, Chad, but we're gonna get him.
Ding! No, I'll contain, man.
Look.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what? I think they got some fancy term for it now—the indoor training facility or something like that.
But, okay.
Yeah, you're right, Seth. It's no longer technically a bubble, but I'm with Juju. I do call it the bubble. I still call it the bubble.
Yeah.
But I mean, really? Gentlemen, I don't want to rain on the parade, but I feel like I've heard this story before. Like we oh my gosh, there's so much changes are happening. We're going in a great direction. We're feeling great, and then
we're not.
So listen, all right, Chad, keep laughing at us, Chad, because you guys have been heading in a different direction since 18 years. Keep chuckling, buddy.
Juice, all I know is last time you won a playoff game, you were on the team. And I know how old you are.
I'm young, bro.
I can do math.
I'm young, bro.
Hey, Chad, but
in Dolphins years, you probably are young. In Dolphins years, you are young.
Hey, Perk. Hey. What's so funny, Perk?
But you know what? Oh, damn. See, there you go, Drew. you're right, but you know, hey, why are you calling me out? Hey, no, you know what, Chad? Well, I'll say this. The NFL, you know how it works in the NFL. The offseason is for selling hope. The regular season is for reality. Everybody gets excited in the offseason. Yeah, it's going to be different. Yeah, we're on our way. And then by September 15th, you're right. You're like, damn, this shit again. So we'll see. I feel better about this. I feel better about this regime than the last one, though. I really do.
Well, let's hope it's not by September 15th, because and this also seems to be something that has happened every time the Dolphins have made a change, that first season is typically a positive, right? Somehow they've actually improved you know, other than when Flores took over and they were very intentionally trying to strip things down to the bones, you know, and he still exceeded expectations. But we saw, well, we, you know, after Camp Cameron, we knew there was nowhere to go but up. But we saw it happen with Sperano and the Parcells Ireland deal where they had the greatest turnaround ever. We saw it happen. Everybody, Mike McDaniel goes to the playoffs 2 years in a row. I was giving a lot of people a hard time saying, hey, you can't get rid of these guys if they went to the playoffs 2 years in a row. We have to see if year three was an anomaly or if it's who they are. And you know, clearly we found out the answer. So I think that even if they have a productive season, you still have to kind of wait and see what are they developing. And that's honestly what we're being sold on. You know, we're being sold on this tried and true, you know, process and something that's going to have long-term sustainability. That, right? I mean, that those are phrases that we're hearing from John Eric Sullivan. That's what the Green Bay way has been. And so, you know, I think that we all have to be a little patient, not necessarily, oh, they're not going to be great in year one, but we have to be patient to say, at what point do we really believe that this is sustainable?
Right. And they're not promising anything. And that's a smart move on their part, you know, and we shouldn't expect a lot considering the salary cap hell we're in, you know, the what we don't know about the quarterback position, you know. And I love how, you know, Sully handled that question, you know, about the quarterback position. It's like, we don't know what to expect. And, you know, we've been, if Dolph fans haven't been patient in the last 20 years, I mean, if this is when you really got to be patient, because it's been a rough one, man. I joke all the time. I got a 23-year-old kid and a 17-year-old kid, and they haven't seen a really good Dolphin team yet. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that Ricky and Ronnie and those guys, that they were a good team. But since then, Cameron, he's 17. He ain't seen anything.
Damn, Juice, you're not as fun with this damn bell.
Well, shit, they didn't see anything then, Seth. They didn't see anything, man. They didn't see a damn thing, Seth. You know, and I'm like, so now we all got to be patient again, bro.
But you know what? But how patient are Dolphins fans going to be? Because I'll put it to you like this. You guys know what's going on in the league right now, right? Look at how fast Seattle turned it around. Look how fast New England turned it around. Look how fast Jacksonville, Chicago, Denver, Houston. Like, these guys aren't taking 4 and 5 years. They're making an impact in year one, in year two. I understand the situation of the Dolphins, and you're this is a bigger rebuild than a lot of these other teams, but not bigger than New England. I'm expecting, look, I already wrote that I expect these guys 5 years to make a Super Bowl. Now, listen, that doesn't mean win a Super Bowl. That doesn't mean that people should be fired if they don't get there in 5 years. But I'm saying the way we've seen the trend go in the NFL the last 3 years, these fast turnarounds without a Hall of Fame quarterback, Seattle did their turnaround with Geno Smith and Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
So Dolphins don't, you know, Halfley and Sullivan don't sit here and think, well, 5 years, you know, bullshit. You need to get on it pretty quickly.
Ding.
Yeah. I didn't know Kurt was cursing like that in the old system because we just couldn't hear him that clearly. So hold on. You said you expect them to be in the Super Bowl in 5 years. Are you saying that's the bar, or you expect, based on what they bring to the table, that is your expectation?
I'm saying that's my expectation based on what other teams have done
in their turnaround.
What's that?
That's the bar that has been set.
Yes, that's the bar that has been set. And look, again, I'm not saying if they don't attain that, you should clean house or Sully should be fired or Halfley should be fired. I'm just saying that's what turnarounds are going at nowadays. Look at what Jacksonville just did. New first-year GM, first-year head coach, and they're in the playoffs. You know, you don't get the scholarship that you used to get.
Wait, real quick, Perk, have you been to Jacksonville, Seattle, and Boston? Have you been to any of those cities?
I have, yeah. I've been to all of them.
All right, you know what? They don't have 11. They don't have South Beach. They don't have all the things that Miami has that causes an issue for pro sports teams and young men in general.
Okay, tell that to UM football, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Heat.
Well, let's not talk about the Heat. Definitely has a lot of money, and
the Marlins got it done down here twice.
Those are excuses, Chad. But the Dolphins need to win.
Yeah, I think that the Dolphins won. I mean, the Dolphins haven't won since OJ played. The Marlins, I think, won before you played OJ. So. Yeah.
I was rooting for the Indians that game, but it's okay.
LeBron promised 10 titles for the Heat and only won what, two.
So here's the other thing, Perk. You talk about Jacksonville, and so this is also something that I think that sometimes there's fool's gold or whatever it might be. We'll see what happens with Jacksonville.
Right.
But the Dolphins went to the playoffs in Mike McDaniel's first year. Right? The Dolphins went to the playoffs in Mike McDaniel's second year on a season where they scored 70 points and had the celebrations and Hard Knocks and the whole thing. So I think sometimes we overreact. Every year this team is great. Every year this coach has to be fired. And so, yeah, our Dolphins fans, are they patient? I don't know. Maybe they're loyal. I think they're a little frenetic. But, immediately they want to change things. I think maybe Dolphins fans have proven they're loyal because they keep coming back despite, just futility for 2.5 decades.
Well, here's the thing about them too, Big Seth. They were asked for Mike McDaniel to be fired. They were asking for us to get rid of Tua. So you've got that. Now you got to deal with what we have to do after that. New head coach and GM, the quarterback position. You know what I mean? They've asked for that. So if you're, don't ask for shit if you don't want it. You know what I mean? And that's where we're stuck. We're stuck in a bad situation. You know, new head coach, new GM, salary cap is bananas bad. You know what I mean? It's so bad how the salary cap is. So, they have to be patient, man. I mean, that's it. We all have to be patient or, find another squad.
Right. Well, that's what I said. I don't think they're patient, but I do think they're loyal.
You're not on social media like we are as much, Big Seth. Go on Facebook one time. Go on, some of these other ones. I know you're on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it might be.
That's it.
These people are ridiculous.
Right. They're not patient, but loyal. But they're loyal. What were you about to say?
I think Dolphins fans are both patient and loyal. They really are some of the best fans that you're going to find because of the result that they get every year, and they keep coming back, and they keep finding room for optimism. So I do have a lot of respect for Dolphins fans. But I'll say this, Seth. I don't like when fans and media give so much praise to that 2023 season because that season was not a success. It was a good season. It was not successful. And here's what I say, Seth, the epitome of the Mike McDaniel era can be found in a 2-week swing. And I probably told you guys this when they beat Denver 70-20. And then the following week, they go to Buffalo and get blown out 48-20. That 48-20 loss tells you everything you need to know about that era. You can't beat good teams. You can't beat your division rival on the road. You can't win on the road. Your offense doesn't show up when you need it to show up. And then there's that 70-point Denver game where you're at home, conditions are right, everybody's healthy, sub-500 team, you blow them out, the offense looks great. That's kind of that juxtaposition of the McDaniel era. You're going to kick ass against bad teams and get your ass kicked against good teams. That's why I didn't like 2023, and I hope Dolphins fans aim higher, that they don't just say, well, we won a playoff game, that's good. No, that's not good enough. Be Seattle, be Denver, be New England.
Well,
go all the way. Go from 0-60, not 0-40.
So I agree with you in terms of not using 2023 as this measuring stick. But the point that I'm making is you brought up Jacksonville saying that, hey, you have to get good immediately. Jacksonville went to the playoffs in year one. Jacksonville lost in their first, in their first playoff game. They got beat 35-7 by the Rams. I mean, all of those same things are there. So some of the teams that people are getting excited about Let's see what happens in year two, year three. That's the point that I'm making.
Jayville lost at home too, didn't they, Perk? Wasn't that at home? Wasn't that a home game they lost?
Yeah, they did.
They did. And I'll also say
we went to negative 40 and we went to 0 degrees and got our asses whooped.
Right, because we couldn't win our division. But I think that if the Dolphins win a playoff game in their first or second year under this group, it hasn't happened in 25 years, Perk. That is a benchmark. Like, if they get to that first playoff win and then build upon that, I don't think that you can say, well, that's not enough. I just don't think you can say that.
Big Seth, I already laid it out. I know Perk and I are pretty much on the same page. You know what I mean?
Well, I already said
my first year I want to make the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's going to be a road game. Then I want them to obviously win the division and have a home game. Right. You know, then I want them to advance past that. Then, you know, you get to year four, you know, we should be vying for a Super Bowl, AFC Championship game. Then, like Perk said, in five, we should be in a Super Bowl. That's my goal. So any way we can find a way to squeak in. You can squeak into the playoffs this year at 9-8, but you got to probably get to 10-7. I don't know if we can get there. So let's go. Let's push my plan year up then. So year two, start my plan, Big Seth, and I think we'll be in good hands, in good shape right there.
Fair enough. All right. So I want to move on. Man, that was the first bullet point we had on our running show here, and we're already 25 minutes in. That's pretty good. So how are they going to get there is the question, and I think the answer that we got over and over and over again the last couple of days is everything's on the table. Minka Fitzpatrick, are you considering trading him? Everything's on the table. Tua Tagovailoa, the question of the offseason. What's going to happen with Tua? Everything's on the table. We've had good conversations with Tua. Tua did great things. We respect that. I mean, they hit everything. Whatever meeting happened with Ann Nolan and John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley, and they talked about, here's the questions you can expect. Here's the recommended answers let's collectively come up with. They nailed it, man. They never wavered on any of it. And so I thought they handled it with class, but I also liked, and you brought this up too, Perk, I liked that it didn't feel like everybody was worried about stepping on everybody else's feelings. I think they were very upfront and direct and saying, are we making calls about potential trades? Yes. Is every player is tradable, you know, if the right deal comes by. My job as a general manager is to answer the phone when it rings. I loved all of that. So everything is on the table. Do you guys truly believe that everything is on the table? Because Devon Achane's another guy, there was speculation that he could be, you know, there were trade rumors about him. Do you believe everything's on the table? Do you think everything should be on the table?
I'll go first. No, everything's not on the table. And I think Devon Achane's one of those guys. I think another guy like Patrick Paul is probably not one of those guys either. You know, there are a couple guys on that team that you have to build your team around somebody and something, you know, and I think those guys exemplify what kind of players they want. Now, the other guys with the heavy contracts, hell yeah. I mean, they're definitely, you know, up for grabs. When Jimmy came, we unloaded a lot of big contracts. You know, me and Danny were fighting for our Dolphins' lives. Danny wasn't. I was fighting for my Dolphins' lives. Yeah, I knew Danny. Danny wasn't going anywhere. I know that much. You know, and I think that's the same situation here. You know, they have to trim so much fat that everything has to be on the table. Now, don't tell me if somebody comes to you and say, all right, we'll give – I know this is hypothetical. Yeah, we'll give you 2 first-round picks for Achane. Achane's gone. He's got to be. You know, if you get some sweetheart deal that, you know, you never imagine you can get for anybody, you got to take advantage of that. And I know Sully talked a lot about it. We're sitting at 8 picks, and he said right now. That right there perked my ears. He said, we're sitting at 8 picks right now. And that means that there's a chance, obviously, that there could be more picks. And that usually that comes through trades and opportunities that way. So I think no matter what, man, everything has to be on the table. The only thing I really got from those guys that who wasn't on the table sounded like Quinn Ewers has a job, or at least is on the squad.
It did
sound like, you know, Tua's everything's on the table for Tua, but then they were talking about, we're gonna look at this. We're gonna, you know, everybody, if you're looking for a quarterback, or you're in a quarterback situation or a needy quarterback situation, everybody's talking to Malik. But, you know, it will do that, or we'll go, you know, free agency with Quinn. I heard that, like, we'll go get a free agent with. So it sounds like Quinn has got the best opportunity in that quarterback room obviously to be back next year, either him as the main guy or them going to draft somebody, which they'll probably do anyways, and then or a veteran guy there. So Quinn's the only one that seems like he's not off the table. You know, that's still, you know, I think he's good to go. I think for now, you know.
Well, I don't know that anybody's knocking down the door trying to trade for him either, though.
Well, dude. I get that part. Yeah. I get that part. But I think that they've seen a lot of those last few games. They were encouraged. But you also got a quarterback that has potential, that has a rookie contract on the seventh round contract. It's like, I mean, that's that'd be ideal if Quinn became a solid quarterback for this team until they can figure out what they're going to do moving forward. So, yeah, everything's definitely on the table, and definitely with Tua. If they can find a trade partner with Tua, I'm sure they would love to get that. Even if they had to chop it up, pay half the money, whatever it might be. Perk, I don't know how that works. Where, you know, if they were to get a trade, you know, if we said we'd foot part of the bill, I don't know how that works, man. But I mean, that'd be the ideal situation for them. And it sounded to me as well, Big Seth, that they are getting a few inquiries about it.
He did, yeah. He expressed that. Yeah. Go ahead, Perk.
Yeah, no, this goes back to the way that they answer the questions, like you said, Seth, and I like the fact that they didn't lie about stuff that they don't need to lie about. And so, again, we're not looking to trade Achane or Waddle, but we will field phone calls. That was what they said about Laremy Tunsil, remember? And Houston kept calling and kept calling and kept calling until it got to the point where we got to trade him. Like, we have to. Yeah, yeah. And so maybe that happens with Achane. Maybe that happens with Waddle. But it's good that they say we're listening as opposed to, we won't even listen. And then all of a sudden you hear from Shefty, well, the Dolphins are fielding calls on Jalen Waddle. It's like, y'all were lying to us. So at least they're being honest. All they can do right now is talk. And I like what I'm hearing from their talk. I'm hearing a lot of honesty. And so that's all I can go by right now. But the stuff that I'm hearing from the combine, I like it.
Honesty as far as you know.
Yes, as far as
you're hearing
as
things
I can
that
expect.
You can believe.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, they seemed very well prepared. They both seem like very smart guys. And Mike McDaniel was a very smart guy.
Yes.
But maybe on the spectrum of smart, he was like at this place where, you know, there was a whole lot of thinking going on and maybe more thinking than, you know, at some point we wanted to see some action. But that's a whole other conversation. But they're very smart guys. They were very prepared guys. Yeah. And that's all you – like, learn from something that happened in the past, please.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? This is with all due respect to Mike McDaniel, but I thought he was way more into the entertainment aspect of football with the swag and the fancy watch and the shoes. And that's Mike's style. Mike is genuine. That's who he is. I'm not saying that he's fake. I'm just saying these dudes seem to be more about the business of winning football games as opposed to kind of the celebrity of being the head coach and, you know, the media loves me and my press conferences are like a stand-up routine and blah, blah, blah. These dudes just seem to be, let's go win some damn football games. And style differences, but I like their style more.
That's usually how it goes. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Chad.
Juice, but Perk, there's legitimate memes about Mike McDaniel's first day, first press conference, first draft, and then a year or two into his tenure, and he became a very different guy as far as look-wise. Maybe he was always that guy, but he just acted differently, and I truly believe, and I know you're trying to discount it, Miami changes people, and I don't know Mr. Halfley. I hope that he is a happily married man that stays a happily married man. But South Beach, especially when you come
from a
place –
they're not going to South Beach, Chad.
I don't think half of the South Beach kind
These
of dudes,
business
Chad.
Dudes right here, man. You know, Mike did was stroll by the elbow room. Mike did was stroll by the elbow room.
Mike didn't even drink, and he kind of bought into this South Beach mentality. Savak, I need you to clip this. 2 years from now – when Halfley gets caught at 11 at 3 in the morning before a game,
he won't be at
11. I'm telling you, it
wearing some
easy.
I can even go. Here's the thing about it too, though, Chad. You see, Mike 10 times his salary when he came here. Hell yeah, he's gonna be out there buying some nice gear. You know what I mean? Hell yeah, he's gonna have a nice watch. Everybody do, man. I had a Seiko in college, then I had a Rolex in the pros. I mean, it just happens that way sometimes, man. You know, it's just life, bro. This,
I have a Casio right now. Shit.
Oh man, I got a G-Shock that's the bomb, bro. My G-Shock, I got a white G-Shock. Don't play with me, Perk. I got you, man.
I'm not gonna say much because I'm saving it for my. I tried to tell y'all. I understand your point, Chad. I don't get the sense that Halfley and John Eric Sullivan are kind of wired that way. I think Mike McDaniel is a unique animal into it. Speaking of which, did you see any of the combine stuff with him and Harbaugh and that? Like Harbaugh, it almost seems like I'm trying to think. You know, the wealthy guy who hangs out with the. With the guy who sleeps on his couch and gets to, you know, because the wealthy guy's like been, he goes to work for 18 hours a day and he's type A and all this stuff and he needs to loosen up. And now his wife's like, why are you hanging out with that guy again? And the whole thing. It is the biggest odd couple. And man, oh man, I just know that when you see some sort of success with the Chargers and Herbert, which you're going to see, like Jim Harbaugh, all he's ever done is won. That quarterback is got all the physical tools, and we know that Mike McDaniel can draw up some damn plays, and without all the pressure of everything else, then you throw Adam Gase in there as well. Yep. Dolphin fans are going to lose their I know we've talked about this before, but they're just going to lose their flipping mind if the quarterback that should have been selected fifth overall and two head coaches that were supposed to be the offensive geniuses sandwiched around, you know, the defensive juggernaut go in there and – we might lose the patience and the loyalty at that point.
Yeah, well, we've kind of before though, right? We've lost players and coaches and all kinds of stuff that, you know, and end up, they become better somewhere else. I mean, that's just the norm for us.
It is. Although I think the coaches thing was overblown. Like when a wide receivers coach 6 years later has a good first season with the Bears or 8 years, whatever it's been, hella, everyone's like, oh, we should have kept him. You know, Dan Campbell, we talked about this before. Right. And yeah, I tried to tell y'all, you know, but so I think it gets overblown. But point well taken. That is for sure. It was a lot of interesting stuff happening at the combine. I don't remember it always being like that, Perk, where it's become, you know, quite a show. Radio Row, they're almost treating it like the Super Bowl. I just remembered a bunch of coaches spitting tobacco standing around players with top watches. Like, when did all that shift?
You know what? So the first combine that I did was back in 2000. I remember it was that, Seth. It was me and Alex Marvez and like maybe, I don't know, 50 reporters were there. And then all of a sudden it becomes this big event. And I remember the year Jameis Winston spoke and just this huge crowd, because you guys remember Jameis had stolen the crab legs and he was a celebrity. I remember when Johnny Manziel spoke. That's right. I remember when Manti Te'o spoke. And so, you know, you get these kids who are celebrities and the crowd grows. And then and now the event has just grown. As you say, it's this Radio Row type of a thing now. And coaches are doing their tours now. And so I think it's really, I hate to say this as a media member, but as teams discover, we can take the message straight to the fans without the middleman of the media.
Yeah,
that's kind of what they're doing now. And that's kind of the direction that the combine has gone. I hope it fails as a legacy media member, but it looks like it's going the other way, like everything else.
Yeah, I remember when I went to Combine, Big Seth, it was nothing like obviously what's going on right now. And I know NFL Network wasn't even around when I went to Combine. And it was all business, man. It really was, man. And everybody pretty much treated like a business trip. But these guys are also, they're tuning up for Combine, not only on the field, but off the field in terms of their media presence. Because we didn't have to worry about all that as much as these guys have to worry about it now. Of course, everybody prep for your meetings with the teams. When you went in there and, you know, you talk to teams, you know, that was always been around. But for us, man, it was like pretty much just the workout, the meeting with the team. You know, and then that was it. But now they're prepped for everything and they're ready for their social media opportunities and things like that. Because, I mean, it's important for every team to get it out there as much as they can. But same time, though, Perk, they don't want to. I mean, I would think that most teams don't want to have too much interaction with too many guys on their social, because, you know, I mean, unless they're trying to, you know, honestly blindside, or not blindside, but like throw the wool over somebody's eyes. But I think that for the most part, you know, when you're talking to these different guys, do other teams know who you're talking to? How's that conveyed? Because a lot of times people just talk to somebody. I might talk to Chris Perkins, but I'm not thinking about drafting Chris Perkins. Like, how's that work?
Yeah,
nobody's thinking about drafting Chris Perkins. Nobody.
I draft him every week.
Draft him every week, man. He's the first. Chad, we're about to make you a free agent.
Hey, please, I'll be picked up immediately.
Chad, you got that big salary. I don't know.
Everything is on the table except for making Chad a free agent. I just want to say that right now.
What do you think, Perk?
But sorry, so, Perk, you know, teams take different strategies and philosophies. So you'll see some teams will interview, like, you know, a lot of edge rushers, but they're only going to draft one. Some teams will have a lot of guys, you know, and to the fans, you know, so teams before the draft, they have what are called 30 visits. You get to invite 30 prospects to your facility so you can have them in there and talk to them. This is after you talk to them at Senior Bowl, at Combine, at Pro Day. You get 30 visits. So some teams will have, you know, guys in for 30 visits and they'll draft them. Some teams won't have the guy in for a 30 visit and they'll draft them. So it depends on whatever formula you decide to take, or whatever happens, whatever the way it depends to happen that season. I don't know that there's a certain formula, Juice, where they say, if you come in for a 30 visit, you know, the 30 guys we bring in definitely are 8 draftees are coming out of that group. It kind of depends on how it falls. Right, Let me say this also, though, because going back to, you know, the Dolphins, what I saw in Rich Eisen, I saw when Sullivan and Halfley were there, they were talking about player interviews at the Combine, and Sullivan was saying he wants it so that we can have a free exchange of ideas. So it's going back and forth. We learn something about the kid as opposed to us just intimidating him and preaching to him, you're in the NFL now, stuff's about to get serious. And I did see that Keldrick Falk, the defensive end from Auburn, I think, said that his interview with the Dolphins, there was back and forth. They laughed a little bit. So, again, you know, the Dolphins are talking the talk and they're walking the walk. So it's good that you can hear them say something and then a prospect matches it up. Again, I like what I'm hearing from the Dolphins. That's a little bit of confirmation that they're following up on what they're saying. So, again, I like what I'm seeing and hearing from Sullivan and Halfley, and that's the in that interview process in particular.
Speaking of seeing and hearing, I can see and hear Perk and have not had any interruptions this entire episode. And I feel like the fat comedian who loses weight. Like, I don't think we're funny anymore.
So my material can't carry me? I got to be a gimmick?
No, you're good. You're great. Hell, great information. I think as a show, we've lost our magic.
I remember when Joe Piscopo got all bulked up, right? He wasn't funny anymore.
Yeah,
he wasn't funny anymore. He put the weights up.
There's only one or two answers here. Perk got a girlfriend that he's staying with, or he sold his condo.
Let me tell y'all what the real answer is. I'm off of Wi-Fi. I'm using just data now.
Wait, what? Yeah. You changed your game? I thought it was us.
So it is y'all too. It is y'all too. I know. I said the quiet part out loud, didn't I?
Perk, you use your anytime minutes on us, man. We appreciate that, man.
I thought for sure.
But he waited till after 9 o'clock, though, Big Sam. You know, that's when it's free.
It's like I do back in the day.
Y'all remember that back in the day?
I don't charge my car until after 10 o'clock. I got to get
there. Call me back. You got to call me back, man.
That's right.
But
I used to be like one of those old school AM stations where once the sun went down, the signal went out. I'm on FM now, baby. I'm on FM now.
Too good. I thought it was the best commercial ever for StreamYard to say, look at This is what Riverside gives you. And this is
a combination
what,
of it's a combination yeah. platter, Big Seth.
That's it.
It probably is. And I don't know if anybody saw this, but Sam Marcoux has had a litany of great suggestions here today. But he says that he wants Perk like once a month to do the show from a gentleman's club so he can have a segment called Twerking with Perkins.
That's nice.
Perk is in.
Hey, I'll get a Perk going with these women.
Yeah, right. we should shop that. Halfley will be right next to you in the booth, right next to you. So that'd be good.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's not going to happen.
Hey, you know, Chad, let's get on Big McCarthy. Let's get on your big old head coach you got right now.
I love him.
Old ass quarterback. You want to talk trash about us? Your Steelers are headed for nowhere.
Well, you won't find either one of them.
Except for one of the Primanti Brothers restaurants. That's about it.
You won't find either one of them in a strip club, though. I bet you that.
Yeah, because there are none. Because there are none. That's why. And it's been Lexington is nowhere close to. All right, go ahead, Big Seth.
No, I said that's the third.
Right, you know, I'm tired of talking about my squad, Big Seth.
Did we get a ding out of that, Savag? Did we get a ding?
I didn't curse one time. Damn
it. It did. I missed one.
What is happening? No, Juice isn't cursing. Perk is coming in clear. I think we got problems.
This is complete bullshit.
We need to have a players only meeting. And everybody needs to show up. Or else we will call us out.
We get to the media.
Have to take the top shot out of the locker room, guys.
That's right. That's exactly right. Or put it back in, I think, is what we need. All right, let's roll into I Tried to Tell Y'all. Let's see if we can bring back some of the magic.
Oh, man. You want me to go first?
Yeah. I mean, you're always lead off.
You know what? I did that in baseball, too. You know, Big Seth.
I was a There's a reason.
Team. All right. So I tried to tell y'all that we should all be giving and caring people, and we should give to those worth caring about. My mom always told me that I have been given so much that it's imperative that I give back. So ever since I've been in South Florida, that's exactly what I've been doing. First, through supporting Cystic Fibrosis, my man Scott Chait, also the American Heart Association. This led to us starting our own foundation, O.J. McDuffie Catch 81 Foundation. We focused on underserved, underprivileged, and single-parent homes, something near and dear to us and personal to us. My man Big Seth has been doing the same thing. He has that big giving heart. The Jason Taylor Foundation has created incredible programs throughout South Florida that benefit so many of our amazing students. I have talked about planning their wiffle ball blast to support the kids. And this past weekend, as we talked about, we played in their poker event to support the kids as well. The entire Fish Tank family was in attendance and participating. Myself, the legendary Savak, who drove 6 hours, our incredible partners, Chad Van Horn and Alvaro Fuentes. I mean, that's what it's really all about. You know, I say all this about giving because, you know, that's what we're put on this earth to do, not just to take, but to give more than we take. Also, this past weekend, Penn State, my alma mater, put on their annual thon. It's the dance marathon where students dance for 46 hours. They help 5,500 families with kids who have childhood cancer. There are 16,500 student volunteers, and to date, they have raised more than $254 million.
Damn.
This past event alone, they raised $18,841,726.53. I say this too because this weekend, I'll be riding for the Dolphins annual team, Dolphins alumni team, in the Dolphins Cancer Challenge, the biggest and best fundraiser in pro football, maybe all pro sports. They raise money for cancer research as well with the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. This year, the monumental race, walk, ride, will make over $15 million, putting the whole total event in 15 years over $100 million. All of this to benefit cancer research, a nasty disease that's near and unfortunately dear to all of us. I lost my mom to cancer, Big Seth. So when everyone wants to bash this team for its performance on the field, please give them flowers for many of the good things they do off the field. And that's something like this. I try to tell y'all.
Very nice, man.
Well said, Juice. Well said.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Appreciate
all right,
it.
Up to me.
All right. That was Perk. That was Barry Jackson-esque as you just rolled out of the opening statements. All right, I'm up. He said,
"Well, no, I told him I said man. That was very nice."
You did. That was awesome. Thank you for utilized the time that you had to really talk about a lot of other people doing a lot of great things. So that was great.
Yep, good stuff. All right, let me go trivialize this. I tried to tell y'all with my little thing here. I tried to tell y'all the Dolphins need to break up from last year's regime. They've got Chris Greer out. They've got Mike McDaniel out. They've got Tyreek Hill out. Tua is going to be next. Tua is not going to stay with the Dolphins as a backup quarterback. That would be a bad thing. The Dolphins need to part ways with that old regime. Everybody who was the face of it needs to go. It's not because they're bad guys. It's because they couldn't get the job done. And now you need new guys in here with a fresh start. Tua would not be a good backup quarterback for a number of reasons. Chief among those, he's still immobile and he's still a high injury risk. So if your starter gets injured, now you're back to the same problems that you had last season. Tua did a great job for the Dolphins. He busted his ass. He was good for the organization. He was good for the team. He was good for the city. But the time has come to part with everybody who was a key figure of that last regime. Tua is the last one. If they can trade him, they'll trade him. But they'll probably end up cutting him. There are no circumstances in which Tua should be a part of the Dolphins in 2026. They're going to clean house with the old ways I tried to tell y'all.
There it is. Yeah. No arguments from the chat or the crowd.
Right.
We got a preach Perk from Michael Lever.
I'm with you, Mike, for sure.
No doubt. All right. I didn't even check with Chad or Savak. Did either of you try to tell us anything? Go for it. You got it, Chad.
All right. I tried to tell y'all. I know Savak doesn't look that tall, and he looks really good looking. But in real life, he's really tall, and he's not that good looking. But he's an incredible guy, and he is a real person because there was a minute there I thought he was AI. And in this world of Zoom and, you know, all these meetings by phone or whatever, getting together, even if it was for 3 minutes, because I was out in 3 minutes, getting together, catching
up. Sounds like a personal problem, Chad.
No. It felt really good, actually. and I appreciate charity events, going back to what Juice was talking about, bringing people together. Bringing good people together, and my first time meeting Savak and getting together with good guys. The only person we were missing was Perk.
Was Perk?
He'll be at the next one.
Yep.
Right.
And I tried to tell y'all, Savak is much taller than he looks, but he's not as good looking as he looks in the fish tank.
That blur. You know, I've got Savak real quick. I've got Savak's face wash here. Maybe that's why he left his face wash here.
He left the face wash.
So maybe he didn't purchase any more. You know what I mean?
I left one of the steps out of a multi-step process. Okay, that's how you keep this a 10.
Oh God, too good. Well, Chad, that was bold to throw that out there, knowing Savak. Yeah. Had right. That you were going first. So what you got, Savak?
See, now, you know, sorry, it's really nice of him to mention, you know, meeting. That was nice. That was awesome. It was a great event. You know, I noticed nobody talked about how I was taking everybody to school for a second, but that's all right. I'm actually really glad that we got Sam Marcou in the chat. Because, so y'all remember a few weeks back, we had him on the show and he did, and I tried to tell you, giving us the lowdown on Subaru drivers. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Damn if he wasn't so right. So in the last couple of weeks, I've seen so many, and I wish now maybe I should ding myself, assholes, jackasses, douchebags, and other words you probably shouldn't say in front of your children, all driving Subarus. And I'm talking about reckless speeding, impatient lane changes without signaling, jumping double lines, just being absolute bastards. So for those of you guys that don't know, I live in the home of our little brothers, the Jacksonville Jaguars, where most of the drivers are actually pretty awful. But I mean, whoa, at times, hilariously bad. But it wasn't always like this. Pre-COVID, everyone was fine. Post-COVID, they lost their damn minds. But I mean, I drive fast, but I'm basically Richard Petty out here compared to these folks. That's right. I'm a 7-time I-95 Cup Series champion. That stretch of 95 from Daytona to Jacksonville belongs to me. Now watch. Every time I'm going through there, I'm going to get stopped. But belongs to you. Have a nice day. So anyways, the other day, I watched a Subaru Outback driver almost lose control of their vehicle, taking a turn at a dangerous speed. Another one almost just straight tagged me. Now, I want to make it a point, though, to say that not a single one of those bad drivers was driving a WRX, which is the only respectable car they make. This is the only one that actually can be used for what they claim it's for. Because, I mean, let's be real. What kind of serious outdoorsman is driving a Subaru Outback? No? Yeah. All of that to say that Sam really tried to tell us, so the next time he's going off like that and we think it's all a damn joke because he's a comedian, let's take him seriously. Because that was no joke. He tried to tell us.
That's our first ever he tried to tell y'all. Right. I think that's the first ever one. And I don't know if you're looking at the chat, Savak, but Sam said it was Travis, actually, who is a Subaru driver. Well, I don't know, guys. I mean, I don't know what's happened to our show here, but my I tried to tell y'all is actually going to be about the Miami Dolphins. So I tried to tell y'all that this new version of the Miami Dolphins, well, they mean business. Does anyone remember Mike McDaniel's combine takeover in 2022? Because I do. And it was an absolute sideshow. From his contrived effort to work multiple coaching cliches into a press conference answer for Rich Eisen's entertainment to his not trying to response to Mike Florio's can't hide that money comment to his awkward, rambling last day sit down with the Pat McAfee crew, it was hard to tell if the artist formerly known as Miami Mike was an indie to find talent or to audition for America's Got Talent. But things were different with John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley this week. It is abundantly clear that Sully, a no-nonsense guy with a singular focus, is unafraid to tell you what he thinks, and he isn't treating the combine like a vacation either. If anything, the Dolphins' new general manager seems borderline annoyed by the underwear Olympics and can't wait to get back to grinding the tape and finding ball players. We're hiring them to play football might be the most profound statement I've heard anyone say around these parts in some time. And damn it, I couldn't agree more with him. And the funniest thing JES said on the press circuit wasn't even intended to be a joke. Sure, we laughed when he said that he shaved his head so as to not be confused with his new head coach. But I wouldn't be surprised if that was more of a cold, calculated move than an attempt to channel Daniel Soder. As for the head man, Hafley, he isn't afraid to flash a smile and crack a joke from time to time, but I get the sense that he's more of a don't mistake my kindness for weakness type of guy. Clearly a great communicator, he continues to shed light on the man behind the title, and what stood out to me the most was the sickening feeling he detailed when reminded that Jordan Brooks once referred to his teammates, some guys who were still in this locker room, as soft just a couple years ago after they played the Green Bay Packers. The new head coach seems determined to trash that trope, and step one begins this week at Indy. Now, look, I fully recognize none of this guarantees that Sullivan and Hafley will succeed, especially not if Chad's right and South Beach wins. But saying the right things and even having the right approach, it doesn't ensure that they will get it right. But at least this Dolphins brass traveled to the combine with purpose and intent. At least Hafley understood that just because he graduated from the same high school as Bill Maher, and he did, look it up, it doesn't mean that he has to land jokes like him too. At least John Eric Sullivan talked about avoiding irresponsibility and avoiding unprofessionalism, because we've seen far too much of that in Miami Gardens for several decades now. And this new dynamic duo also let us in on another secret as well. They're not best friends. They never even went to dinner during their two-year partnership in Green Bay. Will they break the streak, Perk, at St. Elmo's Steakhouse like the rest of the NFL when they go to the combine? Time will tell. Maybe they will. And if they do, there's not a doubt in my mind that there will be far more steak than sizzle with these boys. This new version of the Miami Dolphins means business. I tried to tell y'all.
Nice. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more, man. Yep. That's good stuff right there. Big stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. When's the last time you guys been to Indianapolis, by the way?
When I worked for the Miami Dolphins.
Last year.
All right, so literally St. Elmo's is the only thing holding that city together, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
That I don't want to put that out there because I was out there recently, and that was when the Pacers were in the finals.
Yeah, you hated that visit. You hated it out there.
Yeah, well, we got to take most of that offline because I don't want death threats coming from the miserable people in Indianapolis.
People aren't pleasant to you, man. I mean, I get the hell.
That should have been their happiest moment. They got Caitlin Clark right. Killing it. They had the anyway, but and they have St. Elmo's, and St. Elmo's is legit. And I ran into Doris Burke at St. Elmo's, which was incredible.
I like her. I love her.
Yeah, I was sitting amazing. In the bar with. I was sitting in the bar with her.
Yeah,
and she's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
Dude, but, they can't. Yeah, she's amazing on the call.
But I think OJ won. I think we should name winners from. I try to tell you. I think OJ won. Perk obviously came in last. other than that, we'll figure it out.
It was a contest.
Be saying that.
but I think twerking with Perk is going to be a segment or its own animal eventually.
We can meme that. We can definitely meme that. Show. We can definitely meme that. There's so many good memes. We're going to make sure that happens.
Hey, right I'm a little scared of what AI is going to do for that. All right, well, we're going to wrap this thing up here in a second, but it's been a minute since we've had a Van Horn, the law group Legal Zone, and now that Chad again. Van Horn is Dad Van Horn, he's going to – Dad Van Horn is so good, by the way. Does anybody have a legal question? Here it is. How do we void Tua's contract?
You know, the crazy part I actually read and I went down like a Reddit string, which you should never do, especially as a lawyer. Yeah. But they were talking about putting him on IR because, I mean, with his history, there's an argument to be made that he may need a year off from head injuries, and that would save them actually from the cap hit that they would take. If they cut them or traded them,
no shot.
I was gonna say, I assume the NFL has a lot of safeguards in place.
Well, the PA
that doesn't
does.
Allow you
the
to.
PA. Yeah, the PA NFL. Does. PA.
Yeah, the NFL. Yeah. So that's really not gonna happen. And
he'd have to do something really egregious. Look, they came to avoid fucking Deshaun Watson's contract. You know what I mean? So how the hell, what are they going to do? What are they going to find for two setups? What are they going to find for
36?
Nothing. He really does nothing wrong, man. He's a great guy. He really is a great
guy. I was more talking about the concussions where you could make an argument where Tua, and of course I'm not a brain expert at all, but you could make an argument that the farther you get away from having your last concussion, probably the better off you are. And it would be a tough argument, but it actually would be an argument that would have support from the medical community because, I mean, he did have some horrific concussions earlier. Obviously, it wasn't the past year. It was just a bad year, luckily. So
out there. If he tested okay a year ago, you know, after the 2024 season, they got no shot of him taking the test. And yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if they measure cognitive decline and those things and what have
I'm sure
you.
But, now. Yeah, I'm sure
well, let's keep
now.
It a buck. Reason I honestly feel like Tua didn't have a concussion is because he didn't really take any hits. The offense was so get the ball out of his hand as quick as possible that there was no chance. They were taking zero chance of him getting hit. Of course, there's going to be some times we might squeeze a little bit, but he was getting down. He turtled out of there, but he wasn't sitting in any pockets, you know. And that was really the problem, in my opinion, the problem with the whole offense when our guys, everything was so quick. And, you know, you can talk about offensive line all you want. There's way off, worse offensive lines in the NFL than ours, you know. Go ahead, Chad.
So are you recommending that the fish tank is his offensive line for week one and we're throwing only deep bombs?
No.
And that way we might be able to get that IR contract because we're not blocking shit. Is that what you're saying?
No, sir.
And if we are the offensive line, what position is Seth playing on the offensive line?
Left out.
It's messed up.
Oh, man.
That's messed up.
Damn.
You might be. You know I'm saying.
Damn.
It's all good. There's only five of us, and I can't even make the starting five.
Yeah, we're going to go four linemen. We're going to go four linemen.
We're going four.
Damn.
No, yeah, so I didn't even say how about, you know, and I know where we're at with the show right now, but I did run out, like I said, I ran into some guys last night. I did see Patrick Paul and Paul Savianaya. Jonah Savianaya last night. And those are big dudes, man. We knew Patrick Paul was big, but he's a really big, but really nice guys, man. And they'll be out there riding. I think Savianaya is going to be riding 39 miles. In the in the cancer challenge, yeah. I'm not sure what Patrick Paul is going to be riding, but I mean Malik is. I think he's going to be going. He could probably do 299 miles. He looked like he was in great shape and ready to roll, man. But that's just part of what we're talking about—the giving part. You know, these guys back in the community, we got to give them some slack and things like that, man. But those guys, back to what Chad was saying. The way as their size, Chad, we couldn't even get in that offense, man. They're huge. They're humongous, bro.
Hey, Juice, by the way, that's Malik Washington, not Malik Willis, right?
Yeah, did I say Willis?
Malik.
You just said Malik.
You said Malik. Okay. And so
yeah, actually, Juice,
you know we're going to get videos of somebody at the
I said Malik. It's Malik Washington, yes.
Is Juice leaking something? Is he coming? Are we Packers South? Is this happening?
Hey, when Sully said, we didn't talk about this, when Sully said, if anybody that's in a quarterback situation and they're not talking about Malik Willis, they're lying.
Yeah, I thought that was a great quote.
I thought it was too. They're lying if they're not. If they're in a quarterback need situation, he said quarterback situation. No, quarterback need situation, and they're not talking about Malik Willis. They are lying. And so we're definitely talking about it.
All right, can I get a legal zone in real quick?
Yeah. Oh yeah, go for it first.
Okay, so Chad, I know Chad doesn't want to. It's not even condo related. So Chad, as I understand it. Every attorney has a minimum amount of pro bono work they have to do every year. Do I have that right? Explain that to me and explain how you guys choose what you do. Can you do a murder case pro bono, a tax evasion? Like, tell me how that works.
Well, the good news for the murder cases, and I don't do criminal, for every criminal case, you have an attorney public defender that's willing, that has to jump in. So you are a represented criminal. For anything civil, you have to qualify for pro bono, and that's going through. I used to be chairman of the board for legal aid, and our legal aid is incredible in South Florida. So if you go to legal aid and you need help, they're going to take care of you. And what legal aid does is they have their own attorneys, but they also have a network of private attorneys. And year after year, we have been the number one pro bono attorney in Florida for the last, I want to say decade at this point. And so if you need an attorney and you can't afford an attorney, because that is part of it. If you can afford an attorney, if you're rich like you, Perk, you can hire Johnny Cochran. You can probably bring him back to life and hire him with what you make.
Not but, with that Wi-Fi.
But Bucks Perk.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, if you can afford the an attorney, obviously you should pay for the attorney. If you can't completely afford, there's low bono where there's discounted. And then if you truly don't have the income, we represent people all the time, especially people in Florida in general that are on Social Security or whatnot. And the price of living down here has just got so expensive. They come in, we need to represent them. We're happy to do that.
The best way to do it is go through your local legal aid, and then it'll get you to either an attorney in legal aid, which they are incredible caring attorneys, or one of their affiliates like us. They'll refer you to us, and we'll just handle it for you. And the best part about it, too, is you'll get the same care as somebody that's paying us thousands of dollars. You just get in the mix with you're a pro bono client, but you get the same level of care as if you would have paid us thousands of dollars. So great question. And if you need legal help, there is help out there one way or the other.
Van Horn Law Group. There it is. Now, look, so, okay, good. I'm glad that you brought this back up, Savak, because, again, we're all doing nice stuff. Juice isn't cursing. Perk is coming through clear. Now he's not even going to ask questions about his condo. I feel like somebody somehow forgot. This is like somebody forgot what we're supposed to be about here.
Yeah, it's the fucking Fish Tank Live, man.
Sam Marcoux didn't forget. So the question is, are you legally covered from self-incrimination if you add asking for a friend at the end of whatever you ask? And, of course, Sam is asking for a friend.
It's actually a great question. So, you know,
of course it is.
You know, the attorney-client privilege is actually better than the spousal privilege. So there is a, like, this is going back common law. This is going back, like, United Kingdom, England. The attorney-client privilege, if you come in and you tell me, and OJ has done this many times, like, hey, I killed these people. Here's where the, oh, shit, I was not supposed to ding me for that. I was not supposed to bring that up.
Bro,
this is not our OJ. This is like some
privilege, man. The other OJ. This is where the bodies are. What do I do?
Now I'm under investigation. Watch them. They're coming.
Not McDuffie. I want to make that clear.
Exactly. Thank you, Seth. No, if it already happened and you're talking
left
to your
now, am I?
Whatever crime, if it already happened and you're talking to your attorney, you are covered. If you come to your attorney and you're like, hey, there's this guy with a headband and long hair that's pissing me off because he took all my money in poker, and I want to figure out how to bury his ass in a lake by smoke on the lake or whatever the hell it was called.
Water.
Smoke on the water. I wasn't going to bring that up. You guys are the assholes for that one. Hey, yo. Now there's legal responsibility when he ends up there. Then that's when you have to report. So if you go to an attorney and you're going to have a future crime, then that you have to report that. But if you maybe committed a crime, and believe it or not, I get it a lot where people are coming to me and they accidentally committed crimes. Think about all the SBA economic injury disaster loans that came in and it was misspent. But it wasn't misspent because they meant to misspend it. It was, they were desperate. They had to cover this. They had to cover that. Things were covered. And I'm like, well, that's quasi-criminal. And it's not, because there's very specific rules that you have to follow. Now, the SBA is focused and the government's focused on the ones that bought the Lamborghinis, went on the trips, went to the clubs we talked about earlier. I don't want to bring them down. Yeah, either way, twerking with Perk. Actually, I had a couple clients that came in that we filed bankruptcy for, and it said twerking with Perk Inc. And I was like, now, like, I guess
now you know,
concierge service. You know, whatever happens. But no, it's a real thing that if you speak to an attorney, a great attorney can really even turn a criminal procedure into a civil procedure because it's all about intent. So if you have any legal issues, the moral of the story is talk to a competent attorney and talk to them before you think you need them. Just talk to them immediately and they'll figure it out with you. And that'll save you a lot of sleepless nights. That'll solve a lot of stress in your life. And it may keep you out of jail. Perk.
Sam, you can relay that to your friend.
Yes.
All right. Last question. I don't know if we should be answering this. Where did it go? T. Lee wanted to know how you could get out of a DUI. What is happening?
So, yeah, that's a great question. So, obviously, DUIs in South Florida, unfortunately, are a really big thing. And especially, we have spring break coming up, and we have people with rental cars. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And people lose their lives all the time from DUIs. So
call an Uber. Is that the answer? How to get out of a DUI?
Yeah, 100%. And I'm one of the first people that, and I know people love to drive. I'm here for all the self-driving cars. I'm here for all of that. It's going to save so many lives long-term and so much heartache. So the first thing is, if you're coming to South Florida in general, never say I'm just going out for one, because that's not a thing in South Florida.
Right.
Never, like, you go out for one, one leads to two leads to four. It's quick. And there's people walking around all over. And unfortunately, we're not a very walkable city, just in general in Fort Lauderdale. People are walking across like highways, basically. So just be super careful. If you are approached, if you are pulled over, and there are people that, you know, they are sleep deprived or they have other things going on, if you refuse the sobriety test, you will have your license suspended. But you won't get an automatic DUI, and they will take your blood, and there's a long process to this. So most criminal defense attorneys will tell you, do not take the field sobriety test, even though your license will be suspended. Like, go through the whole blood test process, because you're going to have that anyway. So if you're worried about it, I would say take the blood test, move on, and hire a good attorney. But more importantly, don't put yourself in a situation where you're driving when you haven't been sleeping much, or clearly if you've been drinking. Just leave that out, because, you know, in South Florida, we have so many people here that are not from South Florida that don't know how to drive. As Slavak was saying earlier, that Subaru driver hits you and gets injured and you were drunk. Guess who's at fault? You. And you're going to jail, and you could go to jail for a long time. And I've seen vehicular manslaughter people go for years. So just be extremely careful. If you're drinking, Ubers are all over the place. I'm sure Fish Tank Live, Chris Perkins will pick you up if you need to. And you right. go working with Perk.
But working with Perk while he Ubers you around.
That's right.
Wait, all kidding aside, like the answer, and he just said it, T. Lee just said, I'll just stay home. Chad yeah. gave great legal advice.
Let me tell you this real quick, Big Seth. Let me tell you this real quick. I had a teammate. Oh, I wasn't supposed to. All right, forget what I was about to say.
Cool. Don't drink and drive. That's it. Don't drink and
drive. Seriously. Drive alive. Don't drink and drive.
There's a million right. different options. I remember when the red cap
you're
thing
right.
came
you're
out.
Absolutely right.
And yeah. there's so many other options. If you know you're going out, go with somebody who doesn't drink, like myself, whatever it might be. That's the bottom line. Don't even yeah. put yourself
I
in
do
that
it.
Position.
What I was going to say is, I remember the league had a car service that they were offering to players, and players wouldn't take it because players were worried about them tracking their whereabouts all the time. You know, that's before Uber. So,
right.
You know, so I had a teammate that, you know, was drinking, and he didn't want to call the car service. And so what he did was, you know, he slept it off, and then he had another incident, and that became the bigger problem. You know, it became a bigger problem, but that service that they used to offer the league, kind of, we felt like it's an entrapment, you know, and so guys yeah. weren't using it, and they like to flex. They like to flex. They right. got a Lamborghini, they got a Bentley, they got all this other stuff. Drive that, ready ding, drive that shit during the day when
right.
you're sober. Get a car service, limos. We went out and looked, Jeff, you know, I spent so much money on limos. That's why, you know what I mean? I spent way too much money on limos because nobody wanted to be a DD, but nobody's going to take a chance at a DUI.
But you didn't spend too much, Juice, because you didn't get one, and you never put yourself yeah. or somebody else in
I'm
danger.
Still here, and everybody around me still here.
That's it. That's the bottom line. Well, that's I mean, my flex. Gosh, like this wasn't a grown up version of Fish Tank Live. Next week we're going to be complete maniacs again. I can feel it. I can sense it. Perk, don't use the friggin' dial up anymore, or whatever it is. Go back to whatever you were doing, because it was working for the show. It might not have been working for you. It was working for the show. Okay, so go back to that.
Great
Another
stuff,
great man. Episode here on Dolphin Talk. It's about that time.
Everybody, thanks for diving in.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dolph fans.
number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.